Pray together, O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Friend, Beloved God,
Friend, Beloved God,
Saints of East and West,
Saints of East and West,
Great
Masters
of Self-Realization,
of Self-Realization,
Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
Babaji Krishna,
Babaji Krishna,
Lahiri Mahashai,
Lahiri Mahashai,
Sri Yukteswar,
Sri Yukteswar,
Paramahansa Yogananda,
Paramahansa Yogananda,
Blessed Mother,
Blessed Mother,
dearest
David,
beloved Saint Francis,
beloved Saint Francis,
lovingly we invoke thy presence,
lovingly we invoke thy presence,
into this
space,
into my heart and my mind,
into my heart and my mind,
O beloved Lord,
O beloved Lord,
free my life from all obstacles,
free my life from all obstacles,
give me physical, mental, and spiritual development,
give me physical, mental, and spiritual development,
make my mind thy temple,
make my mind thy temple,
make my heart thy altar,
make my heart thy altar,
make my love thy home,
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 be thou the only king,
be thou the only king,
reigning on the throne of my consciousness,
reigning on the throne of my consciousness,
om,
om,
peace,
peace,
amen. Take an extra moment right now just to come into this space together and to take the opportunity to open our heart. Valentine's Day weekend and so much need for love in this world, and in truth the need for each one of us to just become that love. That means we first must learn how to receive that love from God. And so let us sit in our asana of meditation, feel ourselves firmly rooted into our seat. Let us rise above the battle of life and give ourselves permission to rest in the heart, in this space of the heart center. Open your shoulders, relax your shoulders, and feel the source of light, of warmth emanating. Opening ourselves up to have that inner dialogue with God that lives within us. Asking God, reveal yourself. Help me to feel you as the love inside of my own chest. Help me to share that love with everyone in my own thoughts, in my own feelings. Let there be no separation from your love and myself. Let us feel our connection to one another through this heart center, realizing there's actually only one heart that binds all of us to one another, to everyone in our lives. Let us rejoice to enter that space, to live in that space. Let us sit in that space right now, and I'll invite Peony when she's ready to lead us in some chanting. Let's especially focus on the feeling of God's love. Nothing else, no thoughts, just God's love. I'm going to begin some readings. This one is from a talk by Master. It's an excerpt from the talk, The Devotional Way to God. Who has created the cosmic cornucopia with its surfeit of forms tumbling into place to decorate the universe and people the earth? When we look at the workings of a watch, we understand that it is man who has made the intricate parts and put them together. But when we look at the lawn, we must ask, who created the power in the seed that dressed the soil with verdant grass? And who made us to behold the wondrous mysteries of creation? The Creator is hiding himself, that perchance someday we may seek and find him. To discover the hidden presence of God, you must love him. But it came to my mind, how can you love God without knowing him? You cannot love anything that is unknown to you. Can you love a flower you have never seen? Can you love the ocean if it is just a word? Could you love someone you had never known or heard about? Could you love someone as a friend whom you never met? Could you love anything that you know nothing about? How then is it possible to love God having never seen him? I cannot say that anymore. I see him all the time. Every thought you are thinking right now, I see as coming from that light. When you see from a hilltop how beautiful are the twinkling lights of a city, you forget it is the dynamo that is providing the electricity to illumine the bulbs. So when you see the sparkling vitality of human beings, but you do not know what is enlivening them, then you are spiritually blind. That power, even though unseen, is very evident. It is all the time playing hide and seek behind our thoughts. Because God chooses to remain hidden, that is why it is difficult to think of him and to love him. The paradox is that the simplest way to know God is the way of love. There is a way of knowledge by which he can be known, the path of analytical discrimination, eliminating all that is not God. Neti neti, not this, not that. Another way is to purify oneself by performing nothing but good actions and renouncing the fruits thereof. And then there is the path of devotion, bhakti yoga, continuously thinking of God until one sees him in everything. He is so evident if we look for him with the eyes of devotion. We must make him know that we are wanting him, that he cannot continue to elude us. If we press him with our thoughts, with our longing for him, he is bound to express himself. He is bound to respond. God's presence is so close. It is just as though somebody is playing hide and seek with you in a dark room. Though you do not see the person, you feel he is there. That is how God is, just behind the darkness of unseeing eyes. He is talking to us through the wise man. He is inspiring us through the great ones, such as Christ, Krishna, and the masters. He is, but where is he? That is what devotion answers. You do not have to see him in order to become devoted to him. Devotion means that you know he is omnipresent around you in the dark conundrum of cosmos, playing a divine game of hide and seek with you. Behind the leaves, behind the wind, behind the warm rays of the sun. He is hiding, but he is there, not far away. That is why it becomes easy to love him. God is the greatest lover our hearts can ever know. He loves to be pursued, because the only thing he hopes for is the love of his children. To receive their love is the sole purpose for which he sent forth creation. He has everything within himself, except our love. He gave us free will to love him, or to love him not. He wants us very much. That is why he sends his saints to show us the way back to him. Selected this reading from St. John. This starts with the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it go. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe them not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hate the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And the part of this passage that really caught my mind last night was, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that it was out of God's love that he gives us the Christed ones, and that they haven't ascended up to heaven except that they've come down from heaven, even as the Son of Man. And just as Moses is lifted up, the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. When we relate to these teachings as something outside of ourself, and we relate to Jesus as this person from 2,000 years ago, we miss the point. And when we read this passage with an open heart, we recognize that in Jesus' story and in this idea of God loving the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, we realize something inside of ourselves. That is, this isn't about Jesus as a separate personhood, as a single individual that's outside of us. It's about the Christ which liveth inside of every person. And as we tune into these words and this counsel, we realize that Christ wasn't telling us how special he was. He was telling us how special we are, because this is how much God loves this world, is that inside of each one of us has been imbued the Christ potential. For us to awaken to this kind of omnipresent reality as our true self, that it's not actually something we have to figure out. It's actually our source. It's actually where we've come from, and it's simply where we're returning to. He says that he that believeth on him is not condemned. And that means that he who believes in this divine potential that lives inside of every person has the potential to awaken to this fully. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And that means that when we don't want to believe in this potential, in myself and in someone else, we have condemned ourselves already. Meaning, we have closed our heart from that potential which lives in us right now. Now this takes on an entirely new world when we learn to apply this to ourself and how we live our life. In truth, we needed to have an initial understanding of this potential in Jesus, because without believing in that potential and in that reality of another soul, we separate ourselves from that potential automatically, just like Nicodemus, who couldn't understand. And he's relating to it materially. How is it that I can be born again? Am I supposed to be born in my mother's womb again? And Christ says, if you can't understand what I'm saying in a worldly sense and in the material realm, how can you believe what I say spiritually? Well, for people all over the world, we believe in the potential of Jesus, that he is the Christ. But if we actually open our hearts to what he's teaching us that inside of every single heart lies the exact same Christ seed that's growing into the Christ consciousness again. And that, in truth, this all comes from God's love for us. That when we awaken to this potential, we realize that God's love for us is not a separate path or a separate reality for our own love for everyone in this world. That the path is actually quite simple. And as Master pointed out in his reading, that the path of devotion of bhakti yoga is actually the easiest path. It's the simplest path, because all of the need to know and figure everything out, all of the need to do things and engage in life falls away for the love of God. Now all of those things will come back. All of the practice of neti-neti and getting rid of things in our life that don't serve us will come back. And doing things in this world as expressions of the love will come back. But if we simply focus on love first, we go beyond the battle of this life. We go beyond the battle of this ego's need to be in control of ourself. And we simply rest and relate to life from a place of God's love. And so God loved the world that he awakened this potential in us. And so God loves each of us that he awakens that in us today to be born again. Not in some distant time and place, not as a potential for someone else, but as my own true self and loving nature. It is a good practice for all of us to explore what love really is. We find we can't make it very far down the road of that exploration without getting off track if we make it a mental process, because as we all know, love is a feeling. And to cultivate this feeling, we've all been given moments in our life where we have experienced being a recipient of God's love. If we don't know that, it means we need to really meditate about love. Because in fact, any love that we have received from maybe our mother, from a close friend, any moment where we have seen love expressed in a perfect way, we have to learn to realize that this was in fact God's expression of love. This wasn't even the person. It wasn't their ego. What made it perfect is that there was no ego, that in fact it was God loving through this clear moment in time, this clear presence in a personhood. And for each one of you, I invite you to tune into those moments which are in fact seeds in the garden of our own realization of God's love, that we be able to recall these seeds of love that have been sown inside of us. And we recognize the source of them, because from these seeds grow our own God's love to be shared in this world. And it's from nowhere else other than these seeds which are put into our own life. And so often we experience them and then we let go of them as if they're something of the past. Or maybe we have a falling out with a person and we no longer feel that kind of love with their personhood. So we eliminate that seed of love, which actually came from God. In my own life, I love to tune into this. It's one of my favorite practices, is to remember the moments of God's love, where he was so tangibly giving his love for me to receive in a way that I couldn't even fully understand, but in a way that opened me up. And sometimes it made me cry like a little baby, because I didn't feel like I was worthy of that love. I remember one time there was a very special person at a time in my life, and I was in Italy, and I didn't know she was a special person to me at that time. She was very well known, and I didn't have any reason to believe she would have any interest in knowing me or being my friend. And gradually over the course of about 2 days, she kept seeking me out and giving me these amazing little gifts of friendship. And I kept thinking, why does she want to be my friend? I could see that she was very special, that she was able to be friends with everyone somehow, that she had that kind of love moving through her. But it never actually occurred to me that she would be my friend. And so for about 2 days, she just kept showing up and filling me up with this kind of friendship that was coming from God. And I didn't think of it like that. I only could feel how pure it was, and I was just shocked every time she came back and found me again to give me more love. Until one night I went back to my room and I just cried all night, because my heart opened so much that I felt so much of God's love coming through her that I felt I want to be able to give that kind of love to this world. Now, as time would have it, we haven't even stayed close on the outside. And she hasn't been my friend like that on the outside for many years. But that doesn't bother me at all. Because she was the perfect channel of God's love for me at that moment. And in that, it opened my heart. And for all of us, we have to actually understand when we sing those words, "Door of my heart, open wide, I keep for thee." We need to get beyond the thinking of these words into the pure feeling of what this kind of self-offering is. I had a wonderful experience in God's love yesterday. We were sitting on the bench and listening to Bema's music. And I looked down at one point and something caught my eye. It was protruding from my side pocket. And it was this little bulge. And my first thought was like, oh goodness, what have I put in my pocket now? When I put my pants on that morning, I had found I had a whole pocket full of these like bean seeds from a tree. And I had other things in there too. A pair of headphones, and I had too many things in my pocket. So I was emptying my pocket. So when I saw this bulge, my first thought was, oh goodness, what is that in my pocket? So I stuck my hand down into the pocket. It's like a cargo pocket. So it wasn't anything I had realized had things in it. And I squeezed on this thing and it was like a little stuffy. And I was like, what the heck is that? And I pulled it out of my pocket and I showed it to Peony. And it was a little miniature Winnie the Pooh stuffed in my pocket. And I was like, what on earth? How did that get in my pocket? And I showed it to Peony and she said, I have one too. And she held up one of the Pooh characters and it's like a little 2 or 3 inch Pooh character, a little stuffy. And I'm like, where did that come from? And she's like, Leo snuck them into our pockets. And I have no idea still how he managed. He's 5 years old. How did he sneak up on me and manage to slip the Winnie the Pooh in my pocket? I don't know how it's actually possible. But he did, and I felt such a wonderful gift of love from him for doing that. And I thought, I'm going to ask him about this. So at the end of the day, Bima and I were walking back from Haven West, and we ran into Leo and Daddy and a couple others, and I said, hey there, little fella, you know, an interesting thing happened to me. I noticed there was a bulge in my pocket, so I reached in there and I pulled this out, and I showed it to him, and he giggled. And I said, do you know anything about this? And he said, I put that there. And I thought, wow, you know, that's how God works, is that because sometimes we're not open to receiving his love and we haven't made the choice that we're worthy, that his love is always flowing to us, he has to sneak it in our pocket. And he has to find creative ways to get us to open ourselves up to realize that he's always trying to give us that kind of love. But that there's a catch here. Is that we have to both be open to that love. And the way that we do that is that we learn how to give it. It's nothing that we can simply hoard for ourselves or pursue of our own ego's desire nature. Rather, it's something that when we get to the place of cultivating a pure giving spirit to this world, God's love flows to us uninterruptedly. We only need reflect on our own life at when things are going well and when we are in that spirit of giving love and of giving to one another, of treating everyone else how we want to be treated, how naturally that comes back to us. It's the secret formula of life. Always operating on the inside of it, is that as we learn how to give that love, it comes back to us. And so when I got to go find Leo and acknowledge the little gift of love he had stuck in my pocket, I said, do you want Winnie back? Should I give him back to you now? And he said, no, I want you to keep him forever. And William said, Carla just gave that to him earlier today. Well, this is how it works with God, is his gifts of love are given to us forever. And we really need to do our best to hold on to these gifts. Those gifts come to us in the form of our best friends, our family, our guru. It comes in the form of those who have given us that kind of unconditional love and friendship that we seek to become. And as we open ourselves to that love and we don't question it, we don't fight it off anymore, we approach it with a kind of humility and a sincerity of openness. It enables us to become that love more purely for the people in our own life who could benefit from receiving that. Often when I go back to those moments of love, I realize there's not even words that can describe them adequately, because it's a feeling and it's something that envelops us and it holds us in some kind of timeless space of just being in the moment and feeling love. And I experienced that one time on that veranda next door when Yogacharya David walked up, and I had a similar complex when I first met him of wondering, will he really like me? Do I really have any reason to believe that he would be my friend and want to help me? And yet, as soon as he walked up on the veranda, I was in the backyard, and I will never forget, as soon as we met eyes across the yard, I beelined him like a bee going to a flower. And I ran straight up to him, past probably a dozen people, and the first thing he did was opened his arms out huge and gave me the most wonderful hug, and I couldn't believe that he would hug me like that. I didn't know why he would have that kind of love for me. He didn't even know me, but he did. But I didn't know that. But the feeling will never leave me, because that feeling is the true source of my own life. It's the true source of myself, that feeling of love. I remember when I would ask Roy about God, sitting on his veranda in the Baja, he would always tell me the same story, and I never got tired of hearing it. He said, when I was just a little boy, my grandpappy sat me on his knee one day and he said, Roy, do you know what God is? And Roy said, I thought about it. And I said, no, grandpappy, what's God? And he said, Roy, God is love. And if you always remember that, everything in your life will work out. And Roy said, I never forgot that conversation with him, and it's proven true my whole life. That was his whole religion, was love. He loved Jesus, but he loved everyone. And so we're given these examples of these saints in our lives who somehow find a way to love us even when we're sometimes not very lovable. But they do this out of their compassion, seeing exactly where we're at and exactly what we need. They do this out of their own omnipresent love. They're not living as an ego anymore, relating to other egos. They're relating to everyone they see in that space of love, and they're sizing us up. Are we open to receive that love, or do we have our hackles up? Are we open to receive their counsel, or do we already think we know all the answers? This is the difference of relating to someone in this world in love versus as a little ego. And so for each one of us, I again just encourage you, grab a hold of these moments of love and make this a daily practice to remember them, to water these little seeds and let them grow into the realization that you in truth are that love and you're nothing else. That when you don't believe that in yourself, you have condemned yourself already and you've cut yourself off from that flow. And yet when you know this, you can enter any situation, you can sit with any person, and you can do what's right and true based on where they're at in that moment. But everything that you do is out of God's love. It's not out of any personal agenda that you're carrying into the situation for them or for yourself. So here we are. It's Valentine's Day was yesterday. Today is Shivaratri. We have the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, in another day or two, and we have Ash Wednesday on Wednesday. It is an incredible kind of convergence. In some ways, I couldn't help but feel like a new beginning yesterday, especially for BMO's music ministry, just to open hearts. And I think for all of us, the thing that unites even all of these occasions is just God's love. Let us just be simple. Let us love one another so we can love this island. We can love this world. We can be perfect examples of that love for everyone who comes in contact with us. And I'd like to close with this reading from Yogacharya David. It's from the Discourses 2019 on Valentine's Day, and it's called The Love of Saint Valentine. I want to wish you a lovely Valentine's Day, a day brimming with the love of God, filling your heart to overflowing. According to early Christian history, Saint Valentine died a martyr, but while in prison, he healed the daughter of his jailer of blindness. When he wrote her a letter, he signed it, Your Valentine. Saint Valentine not only forgave his jailer, but healed his daughter. Such a loving thing to do. Master wrote so beautifully of charity. Charity has taken on different meanings down through time, from its original meaning of love, to acts of love, to helping someone in need, to nonprofit organizations. But let us examine the word from its headwaters, love and acts of love, as Master does. This is Master. Charity is born of sympathy. By empathy, a quality of omnipresence, a person may transfer his consciousness to that within suffering men and experience as his own their griefs and limitations. It is then that the charitable desire to offer help springs forth. Selfishness cramps the omnipresent soul in a miserable prison of limiting material desire. You should desire salvation so that you may give it to everyone else. You should desire salvation so that you may give it to everyone else. Even in salvation, we should seek this without any selfishness, with the desire to give it to everyone else. You should desire to drink God's nectar of bliss so that you may share it with all. That is true charity. Master so beautifully connects the act of giving back to its source, omnipresence, from which empathy naturally springs. In omnipresence, we feel what others feel. However, it is not a simple connection to another. Rather, we take with us awareness of God's love and compassion, as well as his clarity that helps us discern truth and right behavior. If someone is struggling with staying true to his or her higher self, then through an omnipresent state of witnessing, they can, if discerning, sense the future consequences of wrong actions, as can we on their behalf. Intuiting the suffering that the individual will go through, our heart goes out to such a one. Whenever anyone suffers the effects of past actions in body, mind, or soul, we feel compassionate understanding for that one. We feel the fullness of God's love flowing through our own heart in omniscient empathy. In seeing all creation as an expression of Ananda, God's bliss, then we see the truth, even as Saint Kabir did when he said, "I laugh when I hear the fish in the water is thirsty." Truly, we swim in an ocean of love. It is all around us, and we are immersed in it. We need only drink what is so abundantly permeating the air we breathe. And this is my Saint Valentine's wish for you, my dear one, that you may drink to your heart's content from the living waters of spirit, that your heart may run full to overflowing with love for God and all creation, that when you do an act of charity, it is first an act of love, an action that is a natural outcome of omnipresence. And when you are the receiver of someone's loving act, you receive the love behind the act and are conscious of that love first. In this way, it is truly God giving to God. It is in that spirit that you please me most in receiving all the love of God that is overflowing from my heart and that I see flowing out to you now. Your Valentine. May we all remember as we embark on our days and our lives that the secret to experiencing and realizing God's love is to give it. Let us hold on to this and let us keep this as our motto for how to live in this world, is to keep more and more purely offering God's love to one another and to everyone. Bhima, as you're inspired, I'd like to ask if you'd play us a song.
Thank you.
And just reflecting on how Bhima so graciously shared his music with us yesterday, and from the outside an ego would think, oh, this man is playing his music and it's something, some motivation for himself. But I can tell you personally the kind of encouragement I've had to give him to be able to share with all of us, and that it doesn't come from that place of an ego wanting to be the performer, that that's been purified. And I think if we're more and more pure we are in ourselves, the more we realize that. And so it is that he can play the songs for us yesterday and help everyone to feel God's love in that moment, and then can go home that night and offer it all back, and God will give him a whole new one to start all over again. And so it is in our own lives, that's the magic formula, is that we give and we give so God can keep giving to us. I had the thought that maybe Boggs would be willing to lead us in healing prayers today. I've actually thought about this for many weeks, Boggs, and I kept wanting to mention it to you ahead of time, but no time like now.
Let's think of our loved ones near and far. Picture these souls filled with God's light, sun shining on them, smiling, having everything they need in God. Divine Mother, thou art omnipresent. Thou art in all these souls. Manifest thy loving presence. In these bodies. In these minds. And in these souls.
Oh.
Sabbath, everybody.
Sabbath.
Sandra, great to have you with us. Sandra's full of God's love.
All the time.
If anybody has any questions or things they want to share, it's an open forum as always, but no pressure.
Tremendous Bible reading.
John 3:16 is always the one Roy would tell everybody to go look at.
Mm-hmm.
This is his one. Mm-hmm. I think that was the extent of his gospel. People, I've often told people I would read Roy's mom's Bible. I would never sit in Roy's chair on the veranda unless he wasn't there. And if he wasn't there, the only time I would sit in the chair was to read his Bible. And then I would often in the evening read his Bible to him. And he wasn't a scholar, and he didn't really care about knowing all the details. But his most Sundays he preached John 3:16,
mm.
and it was always just helping everybody feel love, and that's what he was. So
mm-hmm.
it's a very easy thing for him to express.
Yeah.
But sometimes I got the feeling I would be reading him Bible passages for the first time.
Mm.
It's quite fun.
Mm.
To share what yesterday during Bema's music, it was, I had this really wonderful God, a little something played out in front of me during his music, and it was such an interesting, it was a little interesting play interaction in front of me, and I was just observing it. And last night in meditation, and I was thinking about it and kind of what transpired. And all of a sudden I felt like God was just standing there, turned around, gave me a big wink and a big smile and said, yeah. It was a wink from God. And so it's just so much love. And it was just beautiful. And in the background of famous music,
mm-hmm.
just brought that. So
that's
just, it was really, because I was like, what was going on there? And it's, I just felt like I saw him turn around, just give me a little wink.
Mm.
It's like when you're watching the play, and then suddenly the director looks at you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he keeps directing.
Exactly.
Well, I always appreciate when you remind me of the remembering moments of love.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you've said it, remembering God moments, you know, moments where you felt God's presence. And,
mm-hmm.
and last night when you and I were talking, I was feeling it a lot during the day, just those key moments of love that you gave me to do the music, you know, and I was joking to Zach, but I was actually serious. I said that one of those moments was Zach said, it can't just be me listening to your music on my tea porch. And I told Zach, that was a revelation because I really thought it could just be that. So, I just thought that would probably, that could be it. But thank you so much for encouraging
mm-hmm.
me to and spiritualizing it for me. And many of you probably don't know, Zach sent me the seed fund for the music, and he said for Bema's music ministry, and I never thought of it that way until then. And so, yeah, thank you for all the love.
You reminded me that that was at Hansa Temple.
Yeah, yeah, that was
a pretty revolutionary act.
Yeah.
For Bema to have a music ministry from inside the Ananda community. Birth
inside of the
where he
foyer.
Was forbidden from playing out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
goodness. It was something.
Yeah.
It was quite a raw period, you know, but I guess that's where we all start from.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in Bema's example, there's this wonderful process that has to be gone through, the purification of each of our own unique charismas, which is like our gifts of love in God that we're supposed to share with the world, and how we can't share those if we're thinking we're doing it,
mm-hmm.
and it's born of any desire of our own to like accomplish something or to be famous. When I first met Bema, he was like featured on these blogs, indie musician blogs, and he was ranked in like the up and coming top 100 indie musicians and stuff. And then I watched him basically surrender that completely for over 10 years. And I always knew, and I would tell him probably like every 2 years, I'd like remind him, like, the music will come back. You can't ever let go of that. And yeah, I felt in so many ways like the music came back to him at the same, in the same time I started going through all my processes.
Mm-hmm.
And how connected they always have been. But how we have to all go through our purification to be able to share in the most righteous and holy way. And how much you did that with grace and surrender. And now, you know, you can't ever take it for granted and think it's you now. But as long as we remember it's God who gives us each these, our special powers. I often joke about Carl being our superhero because he has some superpowers. But, you know, it's God. That's God. Everybody here in this room has their superpowers. And I hesitate to list everybody's out loud, but I'm very aware of them, the charismas that God has given each person. And it's just a matter of purifying that inwardly with God. And then it all just blossoms forth. And it all becomes made known to everyone. But we don't have, it's not our duty to make it known. It's our duty to open ourselves up to that purification and to receive God's love, and then it will travel naturally forth. Like Master said, then it will naturally, charity will just arise naturally as an act of being shared of God's love. And that's the truth, that we don't have to figure it out. And yet it's also true that we have our special gifts we've been given, and so we're all unique in that way. And I think part of being here is growing into that gift in the highest way and being able to express it in the most pure self-offering and the most pure love of God that you can as a person, as a soul in a human body. And so for each of you to awaken to that potential means that the willingness to both be purified and surrender these things, to realize it's not you, and also to step into the knowing that it is you in the highest way and in the purest way. And what a wonderful gift that is, that we can share with each other as brothers and sisters. That's what makes us brothers and sisters, is growing into this side by side. And you know, it's no different than St. Francis and his little brothers living in Rivo Torto, 12 of them packed into the hut, and the roof is leaking, and they're all in there, and they all had, that was the purification so that they could all grow into becoming Brother Leo and Brother Juniper. And Brother Juniper had the strength of the tree and could carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And Brother Leo was so loyal and like a child with Francis that he just followed him everywhere he went. And those were their charismas. And every one of the Franciscan brothers had that. Every great saint in the whole history of the world has had that. And let God reveal that unto you, and may you step into that with grace and surrender and humility, so God can really be the doer. What a blessing we all have to walk this together.
Truly.
You just have to imagine Super Carl at the top of a 100-foot fir tree. Super Carl.